Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Charles Barkley, Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain, Joey Devine, Scott Rowland, Billy Cunningham, Sean King, Ryan Sandberg, Ferguson Jenkins, Patreons, Mitch Thunderstrike, thank you, Mitch, Ethan Schiller, thank you, Ethan, Aaron, no last name given, thank you, Aaron, musical guest, Todd Rundgren, and now the temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. And guess what? This is going to be our second episode this week, because there was too much news. Sean, how are you today? Are you newsed out?
I'm never newsed out, baby.
Are you having an affair with your assistant and it's making people?
No, but I did once date a student who had taken my decal class at UC Berkeley.
Wow.
A student run class.
That's that's grooming now, Sean.
Yeah, but I dated her 10 years later. So I think that's okay. She was only like 3 years younger than me. I mean, I was. Again, it's a student class.
This is a self-cancellation. You're like,
oh my god, we don't even. Yeah, I mean, she did pass the class, but
what was that? That David Mamet movie that's about this. It doesn't matter. We don't need to talk about David Mamet. It's 9/11.
The human stain or something. I don't know. Yeah,
Oleana or something. Anyway,
oh, Oleana. Well, yeah, we did almost get set up on a date 3 years after she took my class, and then we dated a full 10 years later.
Wow. Well, congratulations on the healthy dating life, Sean.
I'm not going to be the general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves anymore.
Well, are you vaccinated?
I am
well,
fully
congratulations, Sean. You are the new starting small forward for the Golden State Warriors. But before we start getting to all of that, some business. Hey, guess what? There's a sale at on T Public right now, so go buy a t-shirt before the season starts. Patreon.com/roundrockpod, and guess what we're doing this year? You might have heard the name Mitch Thunderstrike in there. And guess what, Sean?
What?
Mitch Thunderstrike has agreed to run a fantasy basketball league for our Patreons.
So oh, that's like, amazing.
If you'd like to join a fantasy basketball league this year, let me or Sean know. We'll send you Mitch's, we'll send your name to Mitch and he'll set that up. The only thing is you got to be a Patreon, even if it's for $1. And then we will give out a prize pack to the winner of that league that will probably also include some form of monetary gain. Because guess what, Sean? Fantasy is gambling.
Oh, wow. I haven't really heard much advertising about that, but...
Okay. Round rockpod at gmail.com, on Twitter at roundrockpod. Give us 5 stars on iTunes because apparently it helps. It's something every other podcast says, and that's all I know to do. Weirdly, they only let you give 5-star reviews, though. I know it's upsetting. I know you'd like to give a 6, but only 5. Sean.
Yes.
We got some mail. It's not mail, though. It's phones. Phone calls. We got some phone calls.
Get some voicemails.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
Never not make me laugh how fast that robot says that number, no matter what I did to try and make him say it slower. He just kept saying it exactly that fast. Mm-hmm. Sean, our first voicemail comes from our friend Nick. Let's hear it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Hi, my name is Nick, and I have an inquiry regarding capitalism in the NBA. So in Draymond Green and Jason Tatum's Subway commercial, Draymond Green introduces himself as, "Hey, I'm Draymond Green and this is my Subway sandwich." I was wondering a couple questions. One, is it effective as an endorsement if you have to introduce yourself by name? And also, are there other instances where this has happened? And just as a side note, I really wonder what that conversation may have looked like when Subway said, "Hey, Dre, we need you to introduce yourself by name for this commercial. And Jason, we don't need you to introduce yourself. Thanks."
I haven't seen this commercial, but the fact that Draymond Green says his name and Jason Tatum does not, to me, screams of Jason Tatum forgetting that part in the script.
I mean, I think if he'd forgotten that part in the script, they probably would have shot it. Having worked on a commercial before, that's not going to be a deal breaker.
Isn't Draymond Green more famous than Jason Tatum?
I mean, he's in more commercials than Jason Tatum.
He's
a little
TV
bit
a lot more.
He's a little bit older though.
Yeah, Joey. But he's also just, well, that's true.
You know what
but
it is?
He's been in like the finals a bunch and stuff.
You know, I think he's older and he's just more polite. He knows to introduce himself. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum clearly has not been to finishing school yet because he's only 15 years old.
Tom Izzo didn't teach Jason Tatum to say his name. That comes in year 2 when you go to a legacy college basketball program, right? That's why Coach K didn't teach Jason Tatum to, because it happens.
No,
in year
he just
two.
He wouldn't make eye contact with him that first year. Wojo is the only one who talks to freshmen.
I should say, Sean, while we're talking about a Duke guy and Coach Mike Krzyzewski, you know what today was? Maybe the most ridiculous combination of my two interests ever.
Okay.
Today was the Apex Legends, my favorite video game. It was the Grayson Allen Invitational for the professional Apex Legends.
Oh my god.
Sponsored by the Milwaukee Bucks, baby.
Why is there that combination of what team is Grayson Allen on right now?
He's on the Bucks now.
Oh, he is on the Bucks.
Yeah, yeah. I think he got
traded for who?
Who did he? We haven't done our offseason previews yet. Who did he get traded for?
Well, the Grayson Allen Invitational. He does play for the Bucks. Yeah, he got traded for, I mean, I think it was like maybe DJ Wilson or something, maybe.
No, DJ Wilson got traded to the Rockets midseason.
Sam Merrill and two future second round picks to keep the white balance intact. They also got two future second. John Horst commented. John Horst, do you think he's related to Riff Raff?
Yes, I do.
They're excited to welcome him to Milwaukee. All right, fair enough. That's crazy. So did you compete?
I'm not good enough. It was for pro Apex players, Sean. This was real tournament.
I guess I overrate your Apex playing.
Congratulations to, I believe, TSM won. Who TSM, Sean, has this man named Imperial Howl, who is the worst person on Earth. You watch his videos and it's him literally just screaming at his teammates for like 5 straight minutes over and over and over again.
He's and like one the Bobby of his Knight teammates, of Apex
yeah,
Legend.
But here's the other thing. One of his teammates, so he's like 22 years old because they're all 22 years old.
Right, right. Except you're way too old to compete in
right,
Apex.
Except one of his teammates is an old man. I believe he's the oldest pro gamer in Apex, at least. His name is Snipedown. He was a famous Quake pro player, not Quake, Halo pro player, who's like a 33-year-old man, and this child is always screaming about how much of a fucking idiot he is.
Come on, Snipe Steak! Was his name Snipe Snake?
Snipedown.
Okay.
It's Snipedown, it's Imperial Howl, and it's Reps, okay? That's Team TSM. In Apex Legends.
Wait, you only have 3 players on your team?
Yeah, in Apex it's only 3.
Wow. I mean, pretty exciting. Congratulations to TSM. Yeah. and the worst man in the world. Hey, the worst man in the world wins a contest sponsored by the worst man in the NBA. So that's
exactly
good.
Anyway, back to Subway and Draymond Green and Jason Tatum, Sean.
Yes.
So
yeah, that Draymond comes off better in that commercial. Joey, I can't believe you haven't seen this commercial. But the best part comes when Jason Tatum starts hyping up the ingredients on his sandwich, mm-hmm. and Draymond just goes, "My sandwich has steak." And that's his part.
We've talked about Subway before on this show, right? How like after Jared, it seemed like their entire goal was just to like sign every athlete ever.
Yeah, they're in
like
Apex
they're trying
Legends.
To set a Guinness Book of World Records for most athletes endorsed.
Okay, so in Apex Legends, what would be the equivalent? Like, what's a spray weapon you'd use in Apex Legends?
Well, there's several. There's like the R99. There's the Devotion. There's the R301. There's the Flatline.
Uh-huh. Which one reminds you the most of Mike Trout?
Probably having no gun at all, because I can't. When I try and picture what Mike Trout looks like in my mind, it's just a blank space.
Isn't that weird? Can you imagine there being like a 4-time NBA MVP and you've like, how many games do you think you've seen Mike Trout play baseball?
Like 2.
And he plays the A's a lot.
Yeah,
I've barely seen him play. And yeah. I feel like I'm a baseball fan. It's like something about Anaheim makes it like the least relevant place. I'm more familiar with members of the Baltimore Orioles than like
mm-hmm.
Mike Trout's weird potato face.
Yeah. Like,
and then there's another guy on the team who's now awesome. And I feel like somehow I've seen Ohtani all the time this year and yet haven't seen Mike Trout.
Isn't he hurt? I don't know. Anyway, we can't talk about that. But he is Mike Trout being but you know what? Having Mike Trout is also kind of like having Jason Tatum be your spokesperson. You know what I mean? Where it's
it's just funny that the best player in baseball is the Jason Tatum of the sport.
Yes, of course. But on a side note, Sean, let's talk about Nick's side note here, which is,
yes,
are there other instances where this has happened, where there's been two people in a commercial and one of them says their name and the other one does?
No, the Mac and the PC always introduce themselves.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think of is I'm sure there's some Simpsons Troy McClure things where Troy McClure says his name and the other person does not.
Flo doesn't really introduce herself.
No, but neither do the other people.
Well, they had to have, I can't even remember the other guy's name because I didn't get a look. The only progressive person that I care about is Natalie Palamides.
Do you think there's an infomercial where the host introduces himself, but then Ron Popeil does not, because he doesn't need to at that point?
Yeah, because it's on the Chiron. I was thinking, I was watching the old Wilford Brimley, it's not Liberty Mutual, whatever it is, but I'm pretty sure he says his own name, just because, I gotta say, it is great to hear Wilford Brimley say Wilford Brimley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a perfect match of voice and name.
Well, Wilford Brimley is the ultimate grifter. We've talked about this on the show
He's
before,
He's 49
right?
years old in their secret cocoon. he has, I definitely recommend that everybody check him out on Spotify. He has two albums. Mm-hmm. One where he is crooning.
But yeah, for
he still talks like this. And then the other one, he has a lot of weird rhyming poems about being a rancher.
But yeah, for those of you that don't know, Wilford Brimley just decided to be an old man and tricked Hollywood that he was 100 years old at 40.
Yeah, he dyed his hair. I think he's 48 or 49 when they shoot Cocoon. Everyone else in that movie is 30 full years old.
Yeah.
He's way closer in age to Steve Guttenberg than Hume Cronin.
Yeah,
but he's right. One of the oldies.
Yeah,
and then he just the other thing is, I like to imagine what his career was like before that.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a point when he was Billy Brimley?
No,
the swashbuckling star. Hey, I can't go home with you tonight, ma'am. I don't know.
Like, for reference, right? Wilford Brimley plays the old man in The Thing, right?
He's a normal person in The Thing.
Yeah, but he's like the old guy in the Thing's team.
Yeah, he's a veteran, but he's not supposed to be 70
right.
years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Cocoon, he's supposed to be 80. I mean, yes, he is still too young for that part in The Thing.
But what that I'm is saying correct. Is, but in The Thing, he's a middle-aged man.
Yes.
And then 3 years later, he's 90.
He's so
Cocoon
old.
Comes out in 1985.
Yeah, because
the Thing comes out in 1982.
Yeah, because if you see like imagine that the pool and how mad would the people, the other old people be if this guy in his late 40s is jumping in the rejuvenation pool? what's wrong? My knee gets a little sore. We're in wheelchairs. He's really persistent cough that I got to deal with. You ruined the alien pods.
To be fair to Wilford Brimley, I will say is he is 4 years older than Brian Dennehy, who is also in Cocoon.
Yeah, but Brian Dennehy's works there. He's not one
no,
of
No, that's what I'm old. Saying. Is at least he's older than Brian Dennehy.
Yeah. He's not actually younger than him. The most bizarre thing is that 10 years after Cocoon, Wilford Brimley plays the muscle in The Firm. He actually fights in that movie.
All right.
Sorry. And the part about like people introducing themselves, my favorite time is, of course, whenever that happens during an impression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the best.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there, I forget. There,
Jack Nicholson.
Yes, that's the classic one. Whenever someone does Jack Nicholson, they feel the need to say, I'm Jack Nicholson when yeah. they're doing it. But that might just be, do you think that happens? Like, is that a symptom if you've played the Joker?
Oh, maybe. Like, so if I was like, I'm Jared Leto.
Yeah.
What am I ejaculated into? April Fools.
I'm Joaquin Phoenix. All right.
I'm Joaquin. I mean, I have a little bit of a lisp, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to do it. All right.
Why am I like, hey, you didn't make fun of that guy's speech impediment. Fuck you. Now we have an explicit tag. Okay.
Well, I mean, I always explicit tag them. We're for the adults, baby.
We're not for kids. We're not for kids.
Are we ever going to answer this Subway question? What else do we have to talk about here, Sean? Is it an effective endorsement if you have to introduce yourself by name?
I mean, again, I kind of feel like Subway is so scattershot. Right? Although now they have commercials with actual famous people, and the big joke is that they don't use them. Because you've seen the Steph Curry.
I have seen the Steph Curry one.
And yeah. Tom Brady's in one for like a second. Mm-hmm. And they have Charles Barkley just as a narrator, which is, I mean, considering his history of enunciation, that is a bold choice. No face of Charles Barkley, just the voice. Mm-hmm. I just think Subway's all over the place. But also, we should all know this: Subway is a scam.
Mm-hmm.
They have a company called Doctors and Associates,
mm-hmm.
which is you don't actually have to have doctors. They just named it that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really what they tried to do. Was trick the morbidly obese. That's what the whole mm-hmm. Jared
with a pedophile. Yeah, yeah.
Not a lot of actual relationships to the Subway, except
well, you know who used to have a relationship with Subway, Sean?
Bill Simmons.
I believe in the 4-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food. I believe in it.
All right. Do you think he's talking about the soup at Subway? When he's talking about it being the perfect food.
I would not have soup there.
Yes, they do have like, soup there.
I just said I wouldn't have soup there. I mean, it's like they, Subway's like the actual Subway, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe a vaguely good idea that's just had decades of neglect and, you know, a problem with sexual predators there.
Anyway, we're Jersey Mike's pod. All right, next. Sean, we got a disturbing call from our friend Lakers Paladin. Should I just play it?
Yeah, just play it.
I don't know if anyone's been paying attention to Lakers Paladin's Twitter.
Well, but this made me pay up. Just so everybody knows, we're not Lakers Paladin. We are not the scoop.
Yeah, no, we're never trying to trick you.
We're not pranksters.
Yeah.
I do sometimes tweet from the fake Dennis Miller NFL account.
Yeah,
but
that
clearly says parody on it. I'm not trying to. No one's trying to hide our affiliation with the king of weekend updates.
Anyway, if you don't follow Lakers Paladin on Twitter, you should follow Lakers Paladin on Twitter, though. He's the funniest Twitter account. Anyway, here's a disturbing call from Lakers Paladin.
This is Lakers Paladin. This is urgent, urgent, urgent. I've been locked out of my account. I have some suspicions as to who this was. It was either Rambis, my nephew, or just some other asshole locked in my account and is tweeting pro-Rambis propaganda as a means of silencing me. But I will not be stopped. I was very surprised it took this long, considering the kinds of, Russian hacking tactics that I know Palinka has at his disposal. But I need your help. I reached out to my nephew. He doesn't want to help me. He says he hopes Rambis keeps my account forever. I don't know what to do. I want the same account. I don't want to start a new account. It took me a long time to get 200 followers. So tweet the hashtag help paladin. And don't report that account. I don't know. Maybe if you guys think reporting that account will help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I've never had this happen before. But this is very bad. Please help. I don't know what else to do, so I called you guys. Thank you.
I guess Kurt Rambis has stolen Lakers Paladin's account.
Well, okay, so I'm looking at the account right now. Mm-hmm. And first of all, the profile picture is Kurt Rambis. Mm-hmm.
Lakers Paladin is famously anti-Kurt Rambis, but incredibly pro Linda Rambis.
Yes, his wife Linda Rambis. And let me just read you the most recent tweets from this account. First, it says hashtag new profile pic.
Mm-hmm.
And which is interesting because before that, the previous unhacked one, he's complaining that the NFL is littered with Rambis types and nepotism grifters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly the new profile pic is Kurt Rambis. The next tweet says Kurt Rambis was a hard-nosed player and got a raw deal as head coach. Then it says Kurt is doing a very good job as Lakers executive. His wife has nothing to do with it. And then the most recent thing he tweeted was just triangle offense.
Mm-hmm. It's upsetting.
And that's upsetting because, as we know, the Paladin definitely does not like Rambis, but might hate the triangle offense almost as much.
Didn't Kurt Rambis, when he was coach of the Knicks, like a tweet that was porn?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. He seems like he doesn't have a lot.
And then he said he was hacked? Yeah, yeah. No, I'm looking at it. That's exactly what happened.
He did.
The picture and was captured. And he has a beautiful...
And despite having a beautiful woman like Linda Rambis to come home to, he's still liking pornographic tweets.
Anyway, tweet out what was the hashtag?
Help Paladin. I've tweeted Paladin. It out.
Okay.
Amplify that message. I'm not
don't
sure how that gets
the account because he doesn't want to lose it.
Yeah, he would lose the account otherwise. Yeah. So don't. Yeah, it's not great. Well, that's on and right before the start of the season too. That's bad.
It's upsetting. Sean, well, that's our calls. Please call us on the phone or email us if you have questions. We love answering questions. We love hearing from you, our listeners. I don't know why I made that sound sarcastic. I swear it was not. Sean, before we move on, did you maybe have an album recording you want to plug?
Sure, it's on Wednesday, September 29th at the San Francisco Punchline, Blonde Medicine Records.
Great. Who else is going to be there?
A friend of the program, Ben Kalina, is going to be on the show. Mm-hmm. Brooke Heinchen's going to be hosting the show. And then there's another secret guest I can't announce.
Oh, we stand a secret guest. All right, let's go to the
news. We do stand that.
let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, what's our first story?
Well, Joey, our top story this week, some breaking news right before we recorded this podcast Wednesday night. Dwight Howard was revealed as the Octopus on The Masked Singer. That's right. Dwight Howard, the first costumed freak, singing furry, you know, whatever you'd call it, revealed. He was eliminated tonight.
I have a clip. Should I play the clip?
Yeah, play the audio of that performance.
Well, I have the audio of the reveal.
The reveal. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I mean,
let's
I can play the performance. Here's the
play the reveal first.
Now, back in the day, I'll even down. Get down.
You can't touch this.
I'll be back.
All right.
I heard Dr. Ken thought it was Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Octopus costume.
No, Dr. Ken actually got... He guessed correctly, as you'll hear in this clip here.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's a Dr. minute.
Dr. Kent, what a
play
comedian.
The whole minute. The whole
Let's
thing.
Play the whole minute. I, Dr. Right. Any, and look, Dr. Kent, come on the podcast. We only have to talk about medicine.
The champ is here.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, you were singing, man.
Tootie Fruity.
How much fun did you have on this show?
It was hot in this soup. The mask weighed about 55 pounds. I was sweating, smiling, and singing. Woo, the three S's.
And you killed it.
Oh, thank you. Woo.
You said that the reason why you did the show is because it's your mom's favorite show, and she has to be surprised now, right?
Well, yes. This morning, when we got here to the set, my mom was like, Dwight, what are we doing here? And she saw the Masked Singer. She was like, you on the mask? Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Ken, you were right.
You yes. was right, Ken. Yes. You was right.
I yeah. love you so much, and we are all so honored
so
to
honored.
Have you here.
You're going to make me cry. I would have stayed here all summer.
Oh.
All right.
Wow. I have a question for you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
Is
yeah.
Dr. Ken the Dwight Howard of comedy?
And saying no, Dr. yes Ken, a Hall or of no is
I'm
me.
Saying, I'm saying a Hall of Famer. It's a Hall of Famer. I gotta say though,
I did just download the audio of him as the octopus singing. Do you want to hear that?
Well, first I just want to mention that, when you first started playing it, I thought this was like audio secretly recorded by a 14-year-old girl in Dwight Howard's hotel room with the chanting, take it off. Dwight Howard likes teenage girls.
He sure does. Here's Dwight Howard.
Bum bum booda bum 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 tutti frutti, bum frutti, tutti frutti.
All right, that's enough of that.
That was enough.
Stop! Got it time.
Here's this coach who has said when he's done coaching.
I'll only be dead.
He'll wave his hands in the air, yell a few things, put his fingers through his head.
All right.
What if Stan Van Gundy was on The Masked Singer?
It would be a more enjoyable reveal than that Dwight Howard performance.
Doing a horrible impression of his own mother.
Here's my question. How are Dwight Howard and Dr. Ken friends, Sean? What do? They say they go back a long time. Those two have in common? Do they both have snake collections?
No, I... Do you want to be honestly?
Yeah.
I think they took improv classes together at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think Dwight is like his comedy is very much first year improv student.
Mm-hmm.
Now Dr. Ken is an internal medicine doctor, so mm-hmm. Would you treat like an STD by going to Dr. Ken? I don't really think so.
All right, Sean, what's our next story?
All right, well, that was... Nothing's going to compare to that, but Gerson Rosas
mm-hmm.
has been fired. The general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves is out just a week before training camp is about to mm-hmm. start.
This is his second incredibly short stint as a GM, too.
Oh, he was... I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, where was he also...
I know he used to work for our friend Daryl Morey.
He did, but no, he was briefly the Dallas
the GM of
Mavericks
the Mavs.
GM, but only for 3 months.
Uh, like, I kind of don't even understand when that happened.
2013.
Oh, Donnie Nelson became the team president.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He resigned.
Due to, quote unquote, disagreements with management and returned to Houston. Which, well, knowing I mean, what that, we know that, about well, the Mavericks, that's fair.
I mean, look, that is a real... It's like a Sophie's Choice where you're just choosing the way your children are killed. You know what I mean? Tillman or Cuban? Jesus Christ.
Well, but don't you think that was less Tillman or Cuban and more Maury or professional poker player?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm sorry. It's from 2013. Yeah, Tillman was not the owner yet.
No.
So this makes sense that he was tossed out. But also, I mean, look, we can get more into it, but it's possible that he just didn't like the office masturbation culture in Dallas. And he's like, you guys got to be banging in these offices. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be watching pornography.
You have to be having an affair with your secretary, and everybody knows. That's what the tweets are saying.
So what we've heard so far, people are saying that a local reporter named Mike Max, which, I mean, sure. Look, if that's your real name, you have to be a local news reporter.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the law.
Or like a famous stuntman.
So Mike Max says that based on conversations he's heard, Rosas is out for two reasons: a culture he created that allegedly was toxic, mm-hmm. and for a quote inappropriate relationship inside the organization. We did some digging, and
we didn't. Twitter did.
Well, look. Twitter user at the Hill Rat. Mm-hmm. Reported the Hill Rat is, you know, I think the Hill Rat has 200 followers. Small business owner, small part-time political commenter, and a barbecue lover. 267 followers. At the Hill Rat is reporting. What did at the Hill Rat delete?
I have it here. It's quote: he was having an affair with his personal assistant. Mark Lohr interviewed everyone and found out Gupta walked in on him doing the deed. Also, he didn't work well with anyone, and everyone hated how he went alone making decisions. This is probably from Mark Lohr about the firing.
Mark Lohr being the new A-Rod.
Well, it's definitely not A-Rod, because we know A-Rod loves affairs.
Oh, yeah. A-Rod would be like, yeah, you doing it in front of a mirror, too? Were you wearing the hooves?
He'd be like, Gerson, don't do it. You'll lose Jennifer Lopez forever.
Or Cameron Diaz forever. Or possibly Kate Hudson forever. Did she have a muscular body, Gerson?
Carl Anthony Towns reacted, WTF... which, how are you surprised by anything at this point, Carl?
Everything. Well, last week he was quoted as saying, it'll be great to have some stability and some understanding of where we're growing with the people we're trying to grow with. And that happened right on the heels of them trading away Ricky Rubio and Jared Culver.
Yep.
And firing the coach midseason, and now firing the general manager 6 days before training camp starts.
Also, don't you think you're the team that's been, like, hot on the heels of getting Ben Simmons for, let's be honest, is going to be an incredibly discounted price, right?
I mean, if he goes to Minnesota, yes, because what would you want?
Well, but that's just what I mean, is, like, whoever trades for Ben Simmons now is getting him at a discount, because, like... Why overpay for Ben Simmons now?
Although, there's a certain degree of, like, Walmart discounting going on here.
Sure.
Where, but, like, it's a discount from a crazy person's pricing. At the
right, but Ben but Simmons yes. would be the best player not named Jimmy Butler Carl Anthony Towns had ever played with, and also 25 years old.
Right, and he's like, locked in for 4 years.
Yeah, and he'd be like actually kind of a
he plays defense.
Yeah, and passes the ball.
Right. So I would say this is probably not.
But I would say this isn't a good. I was gonna say is probably not a good time to not have a GM for this next 2 weeks is why I brought up the Benson.
Yes. Well, who do they have in charge, Joey?
It's Sachin Gupta.
And what's he known for?
Walking in on Gerson Rosas doing the deed, according to the Hill Rat.
I will read his bio. With degrees from MIT and Stanford, Gupta is an analytics ace who began his career at ESPN, where he developed a popular website known as the NBA Trade Machine that calculates the salary cap ramifications of any potential deal that a fan wants to plug in.
And it has not been updated since.
Yeah. Would you say he's the Picasso of the trade machine?
No, there's a certain person who's the Picasso of the trade machine. And, he has a little song that goes, like this.
I believe in the 4-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food.
Okay, you know, can I talk about that clip for just a
second?
Why is there like a pouring sound right before he says soup is the perfect food? It's like a beer tap sound.
No, it's not a beer. Well, it could be. I think of it as like tea going in a pot. But yes, it's and the incorrect
it's a gross
noise.
Image to associate because
you're
what
not
I
pouring
think
soup out of a like spout. Normally,
that's what I'm thinking of. Bill Simmons going into one of his 12 houses and pulling the handle on the soup tap when that happens. Just a bunch of minestrone just comes dumping out into a pint glass. In the man cave.
Anyway, back to the Timberwolves, Sean.
Yes. Okay. So
do you want to read Gerson Rosas' moves here while he has the entirety of his moves as GM? Yeah.
Okay. So let's do the big ones.
Sure.
he traded Andrew Wiggins and the pick that became Jonathan Kuminga for D'Angelo Russell.
Jury's out on that one.
Doesn't look great, though.
No, it doesn't.
Built a contender in Phoenix by trading Cameron Johnson and Dario Saric for Jared Culver.
Mm-hmm. Sure, not great.
Then he traded Jared Culver and Juancho Hernan Gomez for Patrick Beverley. Mm-hmm. This is after alienating Juancho because he didn't let him play for the Spanish national team. They didn't find out about that until Juancho had flown to Tokyo for the Olympics.
On the plus side, though, he did allow Juancho to film that Adam Sandler movie that's coming out.
That is true.
So he's not all bad.
He's not all bad. Okay, so earlier trades traded Alan Crabb for Jeff Teague and the legend Trevion Graham. Mm-hmm. He traded Robert Covington for Malik Beasley, the aforementioned Juancho, and a first-round pick that became Poku. He re-signed both Juancho and Beasley to long-term deals after the season.
Well, that's actually a pretty good trade.
Yeah, I mean,
Malik Beasley was good enough where they signed him to like a 4-year deal. He's probably going to get them Ben Simmons.
I'm just saying he was a free agent.
Sure. I don't think they were going to re-sign Robert Covington. Anyway, keep going.
They didn't need to re-sign Robert Covington. He was under contract.
They traded Gorgui Jang for James Johnson. It's not.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
They traded the Poku pick and James Johnson and two number twos for Ricky Rubio, Jaden McDaniels, and Leandro Barmero. That was a really good trade, actually.
That seems like
there's like a really good chance McDaniels is better than Poku.
I agree with that for sure. Please don't cancel me, Brian, for draft or whatever that is now.
I mean, I like Poku. Poku could be awesome, but McDaniels looks great.
Yeah, and actually Houston only got a first-round pick for trading Covington a month later. That's a good trade.
Yeah. And then they traded Ricky Rubio for Torian Prince, a number two in cash. That's not so great.
Not great, but a lot of shaking up. He's moving a lot. Okay, so the rumor is that their preferred GM candidate, they want Sachin Gupta, to remain the vice president of basketball operations and operate the internal trade machine.
Sure.
But they want Elton Brand to be the general manager, who is the fake GM in Philadelphia right mm-hmm. now.
If, do you think Elton Brand would bring Ben Simmons with him?
I think he would double cross him at the last minute, and then Ben Simmons would like end up on the Clippers. He only double crosses his friend Baron Davis. That's
yeah, leaving Baron Davis to get heckled by the most racist man in America. All right.
This is crazy though, because it does seem like he got fired for the affair. I mean, they talk about the toxic culture. I know they might have been planning to fire him anyway because a new owner took over. I mean, technically, they don't officially take over for 2 years. But
what's
anyway.
Crazy is this isn't even the weirdest GM story that came out today.
Wait, you don't think that...
I think David Griffin inviting Zion to his room play him piano is a weirder story.
Let's talk about that real quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was some conflict between Zion Williamson, the future of basketball in New Orleans. He was fighting with the team because they were extremely cautious about his injury rehab. I guess the story is initially they said his injury at the beginning of the season was going to be 6 to 8 weeks. He ended up not playing until like late January, maybe. And then he was on a weird minutes limit, which they called bursts. And so they'd like play him for 4 minutes and pull him out. And he was getting really annoyed. And his relationship with Griffin had begun to sour. According to this story, although they communicate infrequently now, Griffin tried hard in Williamson's rookie year to forge a bond. One example, during the Pelicans' bubble stay, Griffin asked to meet with Williamson and played the piano for him.
It's so insane.
That is so much weirder than having sex with your secretary in your office.
Mm-hmm. Yes! Like that one. I mean, it's more. It's certainly more it's more excusable behavior. Sure, but it's fucking bizarre. It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It's very well, okay. What song do you think he was playing?
Crocodile Rock.
That would be really fun. I was thinking Runaway.
Oh, by Kanye West?
Yeah, by Kanye West. And it's like 7 minutes long.
It's really easy, too.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I just don't think David Griffin's necessarily that good a piano player, right? Like, it'd be weird if he was really good. So, this is how I'll relate to him.
He's trying to, like, mend fences, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Look, it's a fucking Billy Joel song.
Oh my god, moving out?
No.
Oh, maybe he's like, Zion, you're gonna have to learn how to deal with pressure.
if you yell at Stan Van Gundy anymore, you're gonna give him a heart attack.
You wanna know by now?
Now, here's the question.
What if we didn't start the fire? But he's like, I'm going to make this contemporary so you can understand it. So he's like, Kylie Jenner, Barney.
Sean, what would you do if your boss invited you to a meeting?
Oh, my God.
And then he was sitting at a piano playing the piano when you got there.
Now, the thing is, even though right now my boss is likely going to be in the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. it would still be incredibly cringy for that to happen.
Yes.
Even though, like, the odds are they might have gone to Juilliard or something.
Uh-huh.
But even still, it would be like, oh, my God, I have a new 5 minutes in my stand-up act.
Mm-hmm. Like, what did David Griffin think was going to happen? Did he think that Zion was going to lay on top of the grand piano and sing?
Like the Fabulous Baker Boys?
This is the weirdest NBA story in years.
I honestly think, like, there's definitely a I could see a situation where maybe Ja Morant would enjoy a piano player, but
no
also
way!
Like,
okay, why?
I mean, no, well, more than Zion. I'm just saying that Zion in particular seems like he would not enjoy that. To me, I mean, not like there's. I just could have met. I don't know. Okay, what if David Griffin plays piano like Jerry Lee Lewis?
Like real standing and super
yeah, standing,
aggressively
kicks the
too.
Stool away. Zion, I gotta say, I know you were out for COVID, but even though you're 30 pounds overweight, you shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too many minutes drives a GM insane. You broke your shoe. Oh, whoop-de-doo. Goodness gracious, Zion of fire. So he's like, all right, this concert's going on for an hour and 30 minutes. Because even in the bubble, when you're so bored and you're housebound and there's nothing else for you to do, I still would be like, I'd rather not. I'd rather not listen to you play piano. I'd rather stare at a wall. And it just the way they make this sound is that David Griffin did this because Zion was not returning his texts.
What if he was like... Drew's a brickin', I'm drowning slowly.
Oh my god, yes. Zion's like, are you trying to get me to get an abortion? Griff?
That's, you know what, that's now what I'm convinced he was singing. He was singing Brick by Ben Folds 5. She broke down. I broke down. And like, it was about Gail Benson.
Oh, it's about Gail. Yeah, I mean, I can see how he might want to trade.
6 a.m. day after Christmas. Sold some draft picks I got. Do you have anything else you need to say about David Griffin?
Not now, but my God. Well, it's also fun. Okay, I will say it is very funny that, again, everyone's bored of the bubble. The New Orleans organization starts watching The Last Dance, and they immediately start calling him Griff Krause. I do think that David Griffin is not in danger of having sex with anyone in his office, though. So that's
yeah, 100%. This is a real... this is a real spectrum of GM behavior.
I'm going to say that maybe Glenn Taylor fired Gerson, though, because he wasn't doing it in missionary, though. And Glenn right. Taylor's like, I don't hold with
Glenn
them.
Glenn Taylor did not fire him.
Oh, I know. A-Rod's life partner did. A-Rod's like, were they doing anal? Then kick him out. He's not serious enough.
All right, Sean, the team we root for is in shambles. Do you want to go over that?
Well, here's a man who's only had sex with the Larry O'Brien trophy in his office. Joe Lacob, Diamond uh-huh. Joe Lacob, got a $50,000 fine for tampering.
Like, for fun! It seemed
for
like it
no
was
reason.
For fun!
Because in general, people get fined for tampering because they're, like, on a podcast or, uh-huh. you know, like, Magic Johnson's on a talk show.
He called for an interview so he could say Ben Simmons' name 10,000 times about how much he doesn't want him.
Yes. So here's the quote. In some ways, it doesn't really fit what we're doing, Lacob said. Now, he doesn't say Ben Simmons' name, but who cares? He makes a lot of money, and can he finish games? I don't know. He's very talented. The problem is, we have Draymond. Draymond and him are very similar in the sense that neither one really shoots, and they do a lot of the playmaking. That's one issue. The salary structure is another. So, I would say this statement also, not like a great way to talk about Draymond Green either. He's kind of
like,
throwing down on Draymond's ability to finish games.
But like the second this came out, we were like, this is tampering.
But you definitely can't do that. Because other people, like you can fine for just saying a guy's name. Daryl Morey's been fined for, like, mentioning a player in a very neutral way that didn't involve
Didn't Daryl Morey get fined for using, for, like, tweeting a picture of Steph Curry with an emoji next to it?
He also, like, went on a podcast and just, like, straight up mentioned a player. And one of the easier tampering charges. Now,
it
Joey
literally just seemed he was like, I don't want this $50,000.
Yeah, like,
because also, money. Why is he even going out of his way? Like,
why is he giving interviews right now at all?
No, but all sure, but also, like, what if, like, the Sixers were calling about, like, trading Ben Simmons for, like, nothing? What if it was for Wiggins straight up?
Right. Which, again, we are moving a lot closer to that world. Although, let's bring this up. I'm not sure you can trade Andrew Wiggins right now, Joey. You know why?
Well, you can.
You can.
You just can't trade him to San Francisco, LA, or New York.
Uh-huh. Because those places are requiring you to be vaccinated to go into entertainment venues, which includes sports. And the Warriors are worried because, look, they can't say it. I know it's a HIPAA violation. It's not a HIPAA violation for me to say it. But yeah.
Andrew Wiggins is refusing to get vaccinated.
Yes, according to Rusty Simmons. Friend of the podcast. He's not a friend of the podcast, but I mean,
he would be. We've been reading this for a long time.
We're open to Rusty Simmons' friendship. I didn't mean to make it like that, but I didn't want to name drop. Rusty Simmons, come on the podcast. We can just talk about musical theater if you want.
So Rusty Simmons, tell us what you think. What song David Gribben played Zion Williams on the piano?
Carousel. Okay. The Warriors recently connected Wiggins with an Oakland doctor who understands issues surrounding vaccine hesitancy, sources said. The doctor explained the suffering and deaths she has witnessed in patients who contracted the coronavirus, but Wiggins remains unmoved in his decision against vaccination. Now, this is an issue because in the city of San Francisco, starting October 13th, you need to be vaccinated to enter an entertainment venue.
Unless you're part of the visiting team, which it's fine as long as you wear a mask the whole time.
Yes, I believe you have
so
to be
So, Paul George, congratulations, I guess. Keep not getting vaccinated, you weirdo.
Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, if he decided to switch to basketball, I believe. Kirk Cousins.
Kent Bazemore, also, I believe, is a vaccine.
Do you think that was a factor in Kent Bazemore moving on?
Yeah, probably.
His anti-vax status? I think so, too. Ken Bazemore may be misunderstanding the amount of leverage he has in his career right now to take a stand like that. Okay? Now, he would need a religious exception. He could get one from the NBA, in theory, but it's a lot less likely the city of San Francisco would give him one.
Right.
Also, he's on the Warriors, so I assume he's kind of Jesus-y, but I don't know anything about Andrew Wiggins' religious beliefs.
I don't think he's... No.
The Bible does not say anything about vaccines.
No, I was going to say I don't think Andrew Wiggins is...
He doesn't believe in anything.
I think he believes in Call of Duty.
Oh my god, that's just bad. Like,
well, congratulations, Golden State Warriors. You can't have Ben Simmons, and also you can't have Andrew Wiggins,
who somehow spent a year rebuilding his value to the point where Warriors fans champion him
psychos.
On social media. They get mad at you if you read a negative article about him, and now he is possibly going to be eating $350,000 a game. Yeah, that would let him afford that Ben Simmons tax that Joe Lacob's worried about.
Yeah.
So back to Simmons real quick.
Do you think they could get David Griffin to play Andrew Wiggins a song on the piano that would convince him to get vaccinated? Like some kind of Tom Lehrer vaccination comedy song.
Okay, I think it's a two-prong thing. He's playing some like Capital Steps type things. Uh-huh, he's changed the lyrics. It's jaunty lyrics. And then if that convinces him, great. If not, if he gets the first shot of the vaccination, he can watch Gerson Rosas being his secretary.
All right. let's talk about Ben Simmons.
Yes, okay.
Sean, my question for you is, which side are you on? Because this is the civil war in basketball history.
Right.
It's brother v. brother. Are you on the Ben Simmons is dog shit side? Or are you on the Ben Simmons is a god side and the Sixers are dog shit?
Yeah, there's no real middle ground.
No.
I am sort of inclined to be double dog shit, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I think that puts me on the anti-Simmons side, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would hesitate to lock in Ben Simmons for, you know, like 4 years at $35 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like even I would not, I don't think I would give up a lot to get.
He's 25 years old and made a all NBA second team two seasons ago and was a defensive player of the year candidate last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was also delivered one of the worst playoff performances I've ever seen in my life. I mean, look, I think he's like a fine player, but like that none of that says $35 million a year to me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like at his current trajectory, like, okay, so he's like a really good defensive player. So he's like dribbling Rudy Gobert.
Is that what he is? Would you have paid? No, because he's not. He's like perimeter Draymond Green.
I mean, that's pretty good. But
would you have paid $30 million for 25-year-old Draymond Green? That's my question.
Yeah, but Draymond's better than him.
I mean, sure.
Draymond's a better passer. Draymond's a better shooter. And he's a better defensive player.
Draymond's a much worse scorer.
I mean, in theory. But yeah. I mean, I just think that, I don't know. You need a... I feel like Draymond Green slides into basically any team in the NBA. I don't think that's the case with Ben Simmons.
I don't think Draymond's a better shooter than Ben Simmons. I think he's a more willing shooter, sort of.
I mean, you would never know if Ben Simmons was a good shooter.
I mean, but Ben Simmons still, like, gets you 12 points a game. Draymond doesn't do that anymore. Draymond gets you 7. It's a lot. It's a big difference.
But he'll, like, shoot a free throw.
True.
I mean, just like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's young, but the exact same deficiencies came out the last two times he was in the playoffs. And he seems pretty interested in playing a certain way.
I just don't maybe think not it's that Ben Simmons' fault that that the best player on the team turned the ball over 8 times in the closeout game.
Oh, because there was another guy standing under the basket near him because he wasn't willing to shoot because their point guard wasn't willing to handle or shoot the ball. Because that puts a little pressure when you make your 7-2 center handle the ball because someone else is scared of fouls. But we should do a real debate.
The great debate.
The great debate. Let's do the great debate. Okay.
All right. I should say for me... In reality, I think they're both dog shit, but I think Ben Simmons is less dog shit than the Sixers here. I don't think it's pro-worker to be like I'm obviously pro-worker, and I think it's weird when people are like, yeah, he should be allowed to, like, sit out, and they should still pay him or whatever, like... That's dumb. Like, he's got to make the choice if you want to leave. But also, this is Daryl Morey's fault.
Yes.
Daryl Morey should have just traded him. Everyone knew this was going to happen. Like, they told him this was going to happen. And then went around asking for the moon for no reason.
Well, and then I will say I have some questions about Ben Simmons' ceiling as a basketball player, mm-hmm. but I have no objections to what he's doing now. Like, they tried to trade him for a year.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, like, you're a star. You're giving him a max. Like, don't, like, if you're giving somebody $35 million a year, they do get special treatment.
Right.
That's like, and now, does that mean, I mean, look, there's a certain amount where you're like, look, you're making the max. That they're paying you a lot to, suck it up and stay in Philly, but they clearly don't want him in Philly. It's not like this is a one-sided trade demand. This isn't like Carmelo Anthony deciding he wants out of Denver. We're also totally fine. And he was escaping George Karl. Like, most of the time when there are these trade demands, it's like the other side is kind of okay with letting go, mm-hmm. you know?
I just think there's a lot a lot of hand-wringing. And look, there's a friend of ours who listens. He's going to think this is just about him, but it's not.
Okay.
NBA Couchside, I swear to God, this is not just about you. I've seen multiple tweets like this where it's like, oh, there's like just so much hand-wringing about like, it's just not good for a league that a guy in the first year of his five-year deal is demanding a trade, player empowerment. And like, I don't care about any of that. Like, that's dweeb shit to worry about.
Also, can I tell you something? That's not new. It's like that's.
We lived through Chris Webber on the Golden State Warriors. You guys might want to look that one up.
That was 27 years ago. That happened. and it was happening before that. I mean, like, look, okay. I think that there is an idea because of, in part, because of Mr. Gupta's amazing invention that. Trades are constantly graded and you can make up your own fake trades. And there's this idea that every trade is going to be this equal value of exchange and there's a winner and a loser. And a lot of times people just get traded because teams want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They want to leave or the teams want to get rid of them. And that is the main goal, is getting that person to a new place, and the price they pay and what you receive is kind of flexible. Like, I really don't think that there is as much regret and reevaluation of trades as people do on blogs. You know, like, it's a funny thing to think about, but I don't think anyone like looks back on deals where they gave a bunch of picks and they're like, oh my God, they drafted this guy. It's like, no, you don't.
Like, if you're Daryl Morey, you should be trying to trade Ben Simmons just to open up that spot for B-Ball Paul.
Right. Exactly. and, you know, it's also a unique situation because this is a guy who has a lot of years and a lot of money on his contract. And Philly almost needs to get a guy who justifies that salary slot just to preserve that slot because they have a bunch of high priced players.
Well, I think it's actually less about that and more about like, Joel Embiid's knee could blow out tomorrow and they need to like go for it. They have to have a 2-year window to win with the way Embiid's playing and his body.
So honestly, they should be kind of trading for a guy who's even more in his prime than Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very strange situation for a guy who's, you know, 2-time All-Star, 3-time All-Star, second team at All-NBA, but is kind of could go to a pretty rebuilding situation if something good and more like immediately leading to a Philadelphia title, like a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, could some of this have been avoided if Philadelphia was just like, hey,
a normal place?
What if what if we had a point guard?
Yeah.
Like, I know we're saying this guy's the point guard, but we already know he doesn't love to shoot. He's never loved to shoot, and he's never been super comfortable with free throws. Maybe we should have a competent point guard so this guy could just go play forward in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that didn't really occur to them, I don't think. I mean, maybe that was the point. Maybe they were like, we drafted Marco Fultz. That was supposed to do that. I don't know. But well, also, maybe don't keep poisoning your players. Yeah, maybe don't trade away the children of your valued employees.
And then try and kill the guy you got back.
My God, what a terrible organization. Look, Ben Simmons is correct to want out. Also, there are a lot of limitations in his play. Mm-hmm. So, but I guess I wouldn't be that excited to get him if I were the Warriors. But if I were literally any team that didn't have immediate championship aspirations,
I don't. That's what I don't understand is like why like only the T-Wolves were like trying to get him.
Yeah, like why aren't the Mavericks? I guess the Mavericks probably are trying to get him. But I do think most teams should be trying to get him. Like maybe not the Nuggets or the Warriors. You know, it just seems like.
But you know what? If the Warriors traded for him tomorrow, it would take me 10 seconds to talk myself into him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, fine.
Well, also, would you rather have this, like, real weird guy who could be frustrating in the playoffs, but is otherwise super exciting to watch in the regular season, and also isn't like anyone else in the NBA?
Oh, you mean this guy who throws no-look passes and dunks hard all the time? Yeah, like the two most fun things in the NBA?
Yeah, this 6'10 dude who seems to have a mental block about shooting, but otherwise plays this weird, super exciting brand of basketball. Yeah,
a big, giant Jason Kidd. You don't want giant Jason Kidd.
Also, play him at center. That's your solution in the fourth quarter if you're on a different team.
Well, Sixers fans get mad when you say that. They're like, you'd have clearly never watched him play.
Okay. Well, in the fourth I'm just saying in the last few minutes of the game, I think he could hold up at center.
Anyway, my big question for you, Sean, before we get to our great debate.
Oh, yeah, we have to get to our great debate. I forgot.
I don't even know if we're going to do our great debate. Okay. But my question for you is, what is it about Ben Simmons that has broken people's brains so hard?
It's interesting because I think it's because he's kind of a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he's dated famous people, but okay, close your eyes. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine Ben Simmons's voice?
Yes.
I can't. I don't know what he sounds like.
He has a weird Australian accent. That's why.
But it's like, it's kind of not that strong an accent, right?
Right. But so are you saying Ben Simmons is Mike Trout? Because we started the show with you.
Oh, shit.
Trying to envision Mike Trout. And
and in baseball, just no one cares enough. They're like, Mike Trout also hasn't won a playoff game in his life. And he's had weird injuries. Now, I don't know if there's anything like Mike Trout, like, won't slide into second base if there's some weird thing that he has like that. But kind of like, I think he is shy enough or private enough that I think people are able to project a lot of feelings about Ben Simmons because they don't really know. Like I read a lot of stuff about how much the Sixers are babying Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. And I just have no idea if that's true or not.
Well,
like I don't have any information either way.
Here's my thing is if they were like catering to Ben Simmons at all, they would have signed like more than one jump shooter 3 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, clear that year Embiid was hurt and Ben Simmons was awesome. The roadmap to Ben Simmons succeeding and they went the other way.
Yeah, and I mean, it's easy to say that he didn't get along well enough with Jimmy Butler, and that's why he left. But also, it kind of sounds like, from what Jimmy Butler said, he left because he felt like the organization was disrespectful to him. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like he, maybe there's something about not criticizing other players, but Jimmy Butler has given interviews where he heard the front office saying stuff about, like, we won't give Jimmy this 4-year contract unless we can keep him under control. And at that point, Jimmy's like, well, there's a team has exactly the same kind of psychosis that I do, and they want to give me a max deal. I'm going to go there. Like, I think that's kind of what it boiled down to. So anyway, I just don't think anyone really knows what's going on. Like, isn't it insane that this guy's been in the league this long and that people are still writing columns about how he's shooting with the wrong hand? Well, that's an absolute blank slate of a player there.
Well, here's my other question.
Yeah.
Are we finally all allowed to say that the process failed?
Oh, yeah. That the process, the biggest triumph. Okay, so the people that love the process the most, Joey, hate Ben Simmons the most. That you lost 200 games in 3 years, and the big prize is Ben Simmons.
Yeah,
and he's the man that makes you angrier than anyone else on earth, except maybe, I guess, Brian Colangelo. But like, oh, Sam Hinkie would have kept this together. They need another robot in Philadelphia, like a weird bloodless creep. That's who would have solved this situation.
Wouldn't it be funny if Elton Brand went to Minnesota now and fixed the Minnesota Timberwolves?
That'd be amazing. They're like, yeah, he turned the team around. They made the playoffs, and actually, they're way under the luxury tax now. That's crazy. And he has sex with his wife in his bed.
All right, that's our episode. Sean, what would you like to plug?
My album recording on September 29th at the San Francisco Punchline. Tickets are on sale now. Check it out. You're going to love it. Also, if you're in Santa Cruz or Antioch this weekend, I'll be featuring for Todd Berry there. But come to San Francisco. Come see my show. It'll be good.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where September 9th I tweeted, I'm at the age where buying a recliner seems like a good idea, even though it won't go with my home decor style.
This home's underwater, man.
Sean, did you write a song?
Yeah, I'm jumping up in the order. Again, we all know that I'm sticking it in Sufjan Stevens' face with my songs about all the NBA cities. I know you're due Houston right now, but we're jumping ahead to Philadelphia in this project because I have a song about Ben Simmons. It is a Smith song, and it's called There Is a Shot That Never Goes In.
Great. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's never have a great debate.
Never. I even had a Southern accent voice. I say that Ben Simmons should be shooting with his left hand.
Take him out of town, where there's point guards and coaches and Instagram models driving into a crowd. I never, never want him to shoot, because he always shoots with the wrong hand. Take him out in the fourth, because we want to shoot free throws and we want them to fall. Driving for the dunk, oh please don't dump it off, because if he shovels it to tie, believe it, he'll open no more. And if a double triple call makes us lose the ball, Tobias Harris, he's such a disappointing guy. And if Joel Embiid has a swollen knee. To lose in round two, well, the Sixers fans, they're gonna cry. Take him out in the fourth. Oh, sit him anywhere, I don't care, probably a chair. And in the Scotia Bank Arena, I thought Kawhi's shot was gonna green. And then it bounced through the basket, Ben's defense was ass. Take him out in the fourth. Oh, trade him anyway, I don't care if the trade's even fair. Driving him out of town, he is never gonna be MVP, because he hasn't got a jumper, la-di-da, he hasn't got one. Oh, and if a double-triple call makes us lose the ball, Tobias Harris, he's such a disappointing guy. And if Joel Embiid has a swollen knee, to lose in round two, well, the Sixers fans, they're gonna cry. Oh, there is a shot and it never goes in. There is a shot and it never goes in. There is a shot and it never goes in. There is a shot and it never goes in. There is a shot and it never goes in. There is a shot and it never goes in. There is a shot and it never goes in. There is a shot and it never goes in.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.